You are listening to an ADIS Journal podcast.
Hello and welcome to this podcast. I'm Junhyo Lee from Asan Medical Center in Seoul. In this podcast, I'd like to discuss polypoidal choroidal vasculopathy, PCV. In particular, I will focus on how PCV differs from neovascular AMD, why it can be challenging to diagnose and treat, and how our approach to managing this disease evolving. In this podcast, I will first review the key clinical and pathological features of PCV. I will then discuss why PCV remains challenging to diagnose and managing, particularly in cases where patients show suboptimal responses to conventional AMD treatments. I will also briefly touch on how current treatment strategies for PCV have evolved from those used in typical AMD, and how this has led to the needs for more tailored PCV-specific approaches. Finally, I will summarize the current treatment landscape, including remaining amenities and future directions in PCV management. What is PCV? PCV is an exudative maculopathy characterized by recurrent serosanguinous pigment epithelial detachment. PCV is defined by a unique vascular structure including polypoidal lesion and branching vascular network. Importantly, PCV is not a uniform disease. There is significant phenotype heterogeneity which can influence both clinical presentation and treatment response. Although each exact classification remains debated, PCV is increasingly recognized as a part of the broader pachychoroid spectrum disease. From a pathological perspective, PCV is closely associated with the pachychoroid spectrum disease, which includes the central serous choroid retinopathy, pachychoroid pigment epithelialopathy, and pachychoroid neovascularopathy. The key features include a thickened choroid, dilated hollow vessels, and attenuation of choroid capillaries. These changes suggest that PCV is primarily a choroid-driven disease, which is mechanistically different from typical neovascular AMD. How PCV differs from typical neovascular AMD? Clinically, PCV differs from typical neovascular AMD in several important ways. It is more prevalent in Asian or African populations and has a greater tendency for hemorrhaging complications. The vascular morphology is also distinct, with polypoid lesion that can be unstable and sometimes pulsatile. In addition, PCV often show a suboptimal or incomplete response to anti-VEGF monotherapy. Why is PCV clinically challenging? While the initial anatomical responses may be achieved, they are often short-lived with high recurrence rates and incomplete polypoidal regression. We have reported that patient with PCV shows anatomical and functional fluctuation even during the maintenance phase of treatment. PCV is also a heterogeneous disease, meaning that treatment response can vary significantly between patients. Ultimately, long-term outcomes are often driven by complications such as hemorrhaging, fibrosis, and atrophy, rather than exudation alone. The diagnostic approaches for PCV. When it comes to diagnosis, endocyanic green angiography or ICGA remains the gold standard for PCV diagnosis. It allows direct visualization of polypoidal lesion and branch vascular network, which are the defining feature of the disease. However, in the routine clinical practice, OCT and OCT angiography are increasingly used as important adjunct tools. The certain OCT features, such as a sharp peaked pigment epithelial detachment or the double layer signs, can raise strong suspicion for PCV. In addition, OCT and OCT angiography may help assess disease activity and guide treatment decisions. Therefore, early and accurate differentiation of PCV from neovascular AMD is critical, as misclassification can lead to suboptimal treatment outcome. Treatment goals in PCV. When we consider treatment in PCV, an important question is, what does success actually mean? From an anatomical perspective, success may include polypoidal regression or inactivation, as well as achieving a dry macula. Functionally, we aimed for stabilization or improvement in visual acuity. Our recent study highlights the importance of early and effective treatment for preserving visual sensitivity at the site of PCV lesions. And importantly, from a long-term perspective, reducing recurrence and treatment burden is also critical. However, one of the major challenges is that these endpoints are not consistently defined across studies. The anatomical improvements do not always translate into the durable disease control or better long-term vision. When treatment response is suboptimal, patients may experience persistent fluid, recurrent hemorrhaging, or lack of visual improvements. Over time, this can lead to irreversible damage, including fiber cyst and atrophy, ultimately resulting in permanent vision loss. Therefore, defining meaningful and clinically relevant endpoints remains an important unmet need in PCV management. Treatment landscape and limitation. In terms of current treatment landscape, anti-VEGF therapy remains the mainstay of the treatment. Many patients do respond well, and in some cases, outcome can be comparable to those in typical neovascular AMD. However, response in PCV are highly heterogeneous. In a subset of patients, a conventional anti-VEGF monotherapy may be insufficient, with incomplete anatomical response or early recurrence. This has led to use of combination strategies such as photodynamic therapy together with anti-VEGF agents. At the same time, it is important to recognize that PCV-specific treatment guidelines remains limited, and much of our current approach has evolved from therapies originally designed for typical AMD. More recently, there has been a shift away from the purely ablative approaches towards strategies focused on controlling disease activity, often guided by OCT and OCT angiography. In real-world practice, the challenges such as recurrence, variable treatment response, and the risk of hemorrhaging remain significant, highlighting the needs for more tailored and durable treatment strategies. When and why we change the treatment? In clinical practice, an important question is when and why we should change treatments. The common triggers include a poor anatomical response after loading phase, or early recurrence following initial improvements, or persistent pigment after detachment or hemorrhaging. In addition, patient-specific factors such as treatment burden, access, and tolerance also play an important role. When these issues arise, clinicians may consider several strategies, including switching anti-VEGF agents, shortening treatment intervals, or introducing combination therapy such as photodynamic therapy. Importantly, careful interpretation of anatomical response is very essential, as apparent improvements may not always reflect true disease control. Overall, management PCV often require a flexible and individualized approaches rather than a fixed treatment algorithm. Future directions. Looking ahead, the future of PCB management will depend on a more integrated understanding of disease biology, imaging, and treatment. Increasingly, PCBs are being viewed as a pachychoric spectrum disease with underlying abnormalities in choroidal structure and function. Advances in multimodal imaging, including OST and OST angiography and iCGA, are allowing us to better define disease phenotypes and identify relevant biomarkers. These biomarkers may help guide more personal treatment strategy, including selecting appropriate therapy or optimized treatment intervals. In terms of treatment, there is growing interest in combination approaches as well as longer-acting therapy that may help reduce treatment burden. Ultimately, the goal is to move toward more proactive and individualized approaches where treatment decisions are guided not only by fluid, but also by disease phenotype and long-term risk of progression. To summarize, PCV is not simply another form of AMD. Looking ahead, advances in imaging, a better understanding of pachychoroid biology, and more personalized treatment approaches will be key to improving patient care. It is a distinct clinical entity with unique biological structural features, which directly influence how the disease behaves and responds to treatment. Early and accurate differentiation is critical, as this can significantly impact treatment decisions and long-term outcomes. Thank you for listening.
You can listen to more podcasts by subscribing to ADIS Journal Podcasts with your preferred podcast provider or by visiting the journal website. For a full list of declarations, including funding and author disclosure statements and copyright information, please visit the article page on the journal website. The link to the article page can be found in the podcast description.